All right, praise God. We are live online and we are in the house. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome everybody that's out there online, saying good evening to you, it's actually no longer online Bible study, and praise the Lord that we are also doing online. But again, we want to say welcome to the people that are online, welcome to everybody that's in the house, and thank you for everyone. It's been hot outside, and we appreciate everybody pressing out. Again, we thank God for our nice air conditioning that is really working well. God has blessed us. I'm so excited. All right, let's do this. I got a prayer request from Sister Sean. We got it on the website that came through, and I have it. She said on the 5th of July, she'll be having a procedure to operate on her back, a disc in her back, and she had some things that are going on with that. So why don't we pray concerning that, and then we'll get into our Bible study for tonight. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity again to come into the house to study your word. We pray right now for Sister Sean, who has asked and requested that we pray for her concerning her back issue and this procedure that they're going to be doing on the 5th of July. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, that you might bring about healing in her back. We pray even that the surgeon's hand in dealing with this situation will be steady and steadfast, and that they will do what is necessary and correct in order to bring about healing in this situation. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing as you will continue to heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead and see if we can proceed in our Bible study tonight. We are dealing with in the book of 2 Timothy, and we had gotten in 2 Timothy to chapter 2. And last week, we were dealing with some verses, and we're going to pick up, and we dealt with them, but we're going to just kind of hit them quick to move into the others tonight. So we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy, verse 15 through 26, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, we have written down tonight. We'll read all those, and then we'll kind of move back and forward between them for our study tonight. All right, so let's begin at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood, of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. All right, so let's go back, and we're going to do as we always do. We'll go line by line and kind of deal with it. Now, remember we said that 2 Timothy is a pastoral epistle, but at the same time, it has general instructions that we can utilize for our own lives if you're not a pastor or in pastoral ministry, because it conveys principles that apply to our lives in general. First one that we see then, which should help people in understanding why it's important that they spend time in the Word of God, because the Bible says plainly here in verse 15 that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in there we find several concepts. One, we're told that we ought to study. Second, we're told why to study, that without study, it's impossible for us to show ourselves approved to God. So that there are many people who have Bibles or they go to church, but they don't study. And so the Bible tells us plainly our failure to study makes it difficult, one, for us to be able to rightly divide the word, to be in a position where we're not shamed because we don't know what the word really says, and we can't be approved unto God when we're unable to do these things. So I was reading an article today that was saying that there's so many Christians or young people who have left the church and other stuff like that, mainly because they claim that they can't rationalize the faith, which means basically they can't explain it to anybody. And at the same time, makes it even more difficult to believe. Because of that, they then are forsaking the faith and going toward other types of things. Spiritual, they'll say, yet at the same time, not Christianity. And so here the Bible tells us plainly that our failure to study is going to result in just that kind of situation. When I think I mentioned it Sunday, where I said that people will talk about the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, and all that. And I said that if people would pay attention, they would see, if we were reading from Genesis to Revelation, we would see the Bible is one congruent message with characters that are mentioned throughout the entire book. Adam and Eve are mentioned in several places of Paul's epistles. They're mentioned in Peter. Noah is mentioned in Peter. Noah is mentioned in other places. Enoch is mentioned in Jude. Jesus talks in Revelation about Balaam. He talks about Jezebel. He talks about all these people that are all Old Testament characters, so to speak, and things that happened during that time. Peter talks about Balaam, and he talks about how some preachers are like Balaam. And if we don't understand what was Balaam like, then how can you even avoid being like Balaam, right? So it's important that we study everything so we can kind of put it all together so that we're clear on what it is and why our faith makes sense. Why does man need a savior? Why is it important that we understand you cannot get to heaven without Jesus' intervention and without God doing something to make that gap? And it does make sense that if people have not been taught from the beginning to the end, it doesn't make sense to them. It's not rational. Why would God have to kill his own son so I could go to heaven? All I got to do is just be a good person and do what I should do and live right, and I should be able to go to heaven. Why does God make it so hard? You know, all the questions that failure to study result in. So we also then understand that the last sentence tells us that the issue of rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, I was talking to Brother Tim before we got started about this issue that we deal with constantly about healing right now and prayer and trying to deal with this. And I said that we're have to understand as believers, we need to be constantly praying as well about making sure that as we are progressing in our life, that we're doing the things in the natural that are required. I was telling my wife this morning, because we put some air in her tire. I said, think about health like that. If you come to me and you say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me, because every morning I wake up, my tie is 37, whatever that means. Your ass out, right? And you can do certain things that when it's over, you feel better. But every morning, you got to do this to get to feel better. And you know something isn't quite right about that. Well, what we really need to be doing is not praying for more air or that you consistently have air for your tires or any other stuff. We need to figure out, why are your tires low? It could be there's a hole in them. It could be some other things. So we're really praying for wisdom so that when it's over, we can have God's revelation on our particular situation so that what? The healing that needs to manifest itself can. And so that God can do what needs to be done and we know what we need to do in order to bring that about. So that many conditions and some of the things that are happening are the result of years and years and years of accumulated bad habit. And if we're not careful, it's more difficult to reverse that overnight. We just have to understand there's a process to it. You know, we understand immediate healing. That's a good thing. The problem for most of us goes to what I said earlier on Sunday. Most people do not walk in that level of belief, and they don't live a lifestyle that can get them there. All right, now, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just being truthful right now. There are certain things when you go to school. The kids who did really, really well in school, there might be a few of them from outer space who never studied, they never did anything, and they just made all these great grades. But that, for the most of them, that's not really what was happening. They had parents who, when they got home, first thing they asked them was, what did you have for homework? And when you said, I didn't have nothing, they're like, right, sure. Well, we're going to make some homework then. It was almost like you were in a regimen where they were forcing you to learn because they understood. You were going to have to put the time in to get it done. So you didn't walk and get all these A's because you were just brilliant and never studied, never read the book. That's not what happened. So it's the same thing with these other areas of our life. Divine health is a combination of walking it out in the natural, what we're doing, and God's mercy on our life. Because, of course, there are lots of things that can happen to us that we have no control over. And then there are the things that we absolutely control. So I told Sister Lori, I was joking around with her, kind of semi-joke. I said, on all the candy bowls, I'm going to start putting 12 and under. And then I'm going to put, like, certain pieces of candy, you know, like 50, you can have one piece. You know, if you 40 to 50, you can have maybe two pieces, something like that. A joke, but not, because we really do need to understand that sugar is a problem. It just is. Sugar is a problem, period, okay? And we have to understand that. And you know, people will say, well, I just don't understand. If you go look at the age, they'll tell you that age is a risk factor for certain things. Why? Well, because in it, just like if right now today, if the air conditioning man comes to your house, he's going to say, how old is your unit? Do you know? And if you don't, first thing they're going to do is go try and look. They're going to say, this air conditioner is 25 years old. And you're like, what that mean? It's been cooling all that time. What it means is 25 years old. So the components in it are 25 years old. It's been running for 25 years under stress. And at some point, even the parts, you can't get them in the store no more. So you have to understand, age is a risk factor, period. So likewise in life, it is. Why? Because it's been running for quite a while. It could be running under stress for quite a while. And it could likewise be being fed the improper components to make it run naturally and correct anyway. So if you're doing all of that, at some point, there's going to be a break. That's what we got to start trying to pray that God, we can help prevent. Now, for people that are on the other side of that, we pray and we ask God to help us and work through those things, and we'll continue to pray and we do that. But on the other side of it, we got to take some authority over that part and say, okay, God, we need to. Now, y'all may ask me, what does this got to do with what we're talking about? We're talking about rightly dividing the word. So in other words, when I say we have to have faith, and when I say that God can heal anything, I absolutely believe that. I do. But I also, all of my reading, everything that I'm doing, everything that I see, just like God says, study to show yourself approved unto God. I believe, like one pastor told me, I knew he was wrong, but he said, well, you know, the Bible says, open thy mouth and I will fill it. He says, so when I go up there, I just wait for the Lord. And I say, yeah, well, if you ain't got nothing to fill it with, You're going to have dumb stuff come out because you open in your mouth. The Lord ain't feeling that. You have not studied. You don't have any word. You don't know the word. I could get it if you knew the word and you were just like, look, I'm just going to go up there and I'm going to preach. Okay, whatever I'm sensing today, I'm going to preach on that subject. Okay, well, if you're well-versed enough, you could probably preach on anything. Bible says be instant, in season and out. But if you don't read the word at all, you don't be, and all you're doing is, and the Lord going to feel it. That's not rightly dividing the word. And so I think it's the same thing with faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And health is more than just instantaneous, bam, I'm fixed. There's more to health than that. You know, when I go to the eye doctor, he told me the other day, your eyes are doing great. When you're out in the sun, keep your shades on. He says, because you're getting older and the sun has even more impact on your sight. Keep, wear your shades. He said, you've been wearing your shades? And I'm like, sometime. I told you, wear your shades. Okay, so when I go cut grass, whatever I'm doing, wear your shades, because that ultraviolet light is impacting your eyes. So don't come in here when you, what, 75, 80, and you've been out in that sun all the time, you don't wear your shades at all, and then you wonder why you can't see certain things, and now you like, help me. Well, I tried to help you, put the shades on. Now, do I believe that God can heal it? Absolutely, but the problem is, like I said, very few people are walking where we need to be able to connect on that level. And this is not about trying to embarrass nobody. I'm talking about all of us. I mean, life is tough enough. People got to go to work. People got to do everything. But I told Tim earlier today when we were talking, I said, if the reason Jesus walked on water because he was God, then it would mean then that everything Jesus did, it was because he was God. And then why is he praying anyway then? Why has God got to pray? I mean, if I'm lying, is he God? I mean, you know, why is he praying? Father, help me. Why? Why? He prayed all night before he chose his disciples. Why? Don't he know everything? Isn't he wise, almighty God? I mean, yeah, but he prayed to the Father before he made the selection. He had physical, real pain on the cross. He went into the garden and prayed to the point that he was sweating great drops of blood. Why you got to do that? You God. Because he's about to go through an ordeal that he needs God's strength to get through it, and he prayed to the point that he was sweating great drops of blood. So that tells me prayer is extremely important, even if you are the Son of God and you fasted 40 days and 40 nights and have total control over every demon walking the planet. Well, if you got, he got to do it. And we going to work and doing everything we're doing, we don't have time really to hardly to do anything. And then when we're doing everything else, it's not even about what? Trying to blame ourselves as much as saying we ought to at least acknowledge we would be trying to walk where Jesus walked or where Peter, Paul, and the rest of them walked when we ain't even got time to do half what they're doing. You know, in one place, Peter said, we don't even have time to wait on tables. We need to stay in the Word of God and prayer. And that's what they were doing and had walked with Jesus. And then you saw these things. So first of all, we have to do those things in the natural. We know. It's kind of like if I go out in the sun today, I'm working out there today, cutting grass. You got heat warnings, not telling you. It's too hot out there. At least hydrate. Okay, so one day I did it, and I didn't, and I'm in there. Everything I had cramping up. My hands were like this. And I'm like, Jesus, please help me, hold my hand. And it's like, really? Please, Jesus, hold my hand. Why don't you try some water, sir, and some salt, and try to get some electrolytes in your body in Jesus' name. Try that. So I did, and guess what? My hand on my. Well, not that God couldn't do that, but I got to understand, I can't be daily running around sweating out all of my electrolytes and thinking I'm going to get into bed at night, and when I cramp up, just to Jesus, huh? And it's over. That's not how it works. So we have to add our natural, let God do his supernatural. Why am I talking about this? Rightly dividing the word. In other words, we believe God can do anything, but we also know God expects us to do something. And as we do that, we don't get out of balance. So that's why we're not a church that says, don't take medicine. Don't go to the doctor. We don't do that because I don't think that's rightly dividing the word. But at the same time, we're not a church that says, hey, only go to the doctor and all you can do is trust the doctor. Because sometimes the doctor, there's only so much they can do. And when we're there, we got to be able to go to God. and know that God can do something that the doctors can't do. And as long as they can do their part, we stay with God till he does his part. And we know that God can do things that the doctors can't. So it's a balancing that we're doing as we move forward, rightly dividing the word. And in every situation, that's what we're trying to do. There are other areas, but we don't need to go into those. I think I've done enough with that. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. All right, so we tie these verses into the one prior to that. This is telling us that we should avoid, just like you see on the internet, there's always somebody coming up with something. I used to hear a lot, there used to be the prayer of Jabez. That used to be out there. And then, you know, there was at one point, everybody was trying to get their Boaz. And, you know, there's always something that people come up with that is just like a fad. It's the new fad in the kingdom of God. And Paul tells us specifically, he ties it to the verse before because he ties it in with the conjunction, but in verse 16, you know, he tells us study. Then he comes back in verse 16 and says, but. Shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, all this stuff people talking about is just babble. You know, it's like just, blah, 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 it might well just be babbling because it don't work. I mean, you cannot go to God with somebody else's prayer. The prayer of Jabez, you know, God increased my territory. And they was praying it. Everybody running around praying their prayer to increase their territory, right? And it's like, that would be like praying the prayer of Jacob. When Jacob was getting ready to go, he said, God, if you watch over me and you do such and such, you will be my God and all this stuff. It's all fads. And he says that if you're not careful, it increases into more ungodliness. That doesn't mean necessarily nasty, like people always think of that. Ungodliness is anything that's not God. So it becomes based in things that have nothing to do with God. Just like when I mentioned Sunday, I think I did, about the fellow who I was sitting in my truck and came up to me with a card from a church, got 2,000 members, I looked it up. And he's talking to me about my angels going to get my money. And he said, you know, that you need to understand that's how it works. I just listened. I said, okay. And he explained, you know, you just have to pray. And most people don't understand how God was going to get the wealth of the wicked out of their hands and get it into ours. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, he's using his angels. And you got to pray because you got one too. And I'm sitting there thinking, shaking my head, going, really? You believe this? You believe that I have an angel. And that angel specifically, I can tell him, go get my money. And that, y'all ought to see how y'all looking at me. And that angel is going to go get my money from whatever wicked person he got to take it from. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. I mean, do you kill him? Do you just injure him? Do you just make him go broke? How do you get the wealth from the wicked, Mr. Angel, into my pocket? Because we're talking to Rick. I got to get my money, right? So how is he doing it? And it's just not scripturally sound. There's nothing in the Bible that says we ought to pray to angels to do anything for us. Nothing. And that's what he means. Shun profane and vain babbling. Rightly divide the word because it's just going to increase unto more ungodliness and you're going to be dealing with stuff that why. You know, there was this will make sense in a moment. There's a lady who has this ministry. Why can't I think of what it's called? Jesus Calling. And the way she got to the place that she is, her and her friend basically decided, you know, the Bible is pretty much not, she had got all she could get out the Bible. So what she decided she was going to do, was she was going to sit down, empty her mind, and meditate, and wait for God. And whatever God told her, she was going to write it down. And so this is how she started getting all her devotionals and all this stuff, because she said the Holy Spirit was telling her what to write. Okay, let me say this. That ain't scripture neither. Nowhere are we told, and if y'all tell me you're doing this, I'm going to pop you. Do not go empty your mind and sit there and wait for the Holy Spirit to feel it and talk to you. You're opening yourself up to spirits that are not God. If you want to hear God speak, read the Bible. You want to hear him speak out loud? Read it out loud. It's amazing. God will talk to you in your own voice even. You'll hear. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat at doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So the same thing. Some will begin to tell you to empty your mind and wait for the Holy Spirit to speak. And whatever you hear, write it, because it is me. Run. Run. That's not God. Why do you need to empty your mind? The Bible says, meditate on the word day and night. David said, I have filled my heart with the word so that I might not sin against you. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is how I get everything I need to know. Order my steps in thy word, O God. Everything's about the word. And anybody who finally says, well, I had to get out the word because I had to get some more revelation. You need to run as quickly as possible. That's what you need to do. Just run. Run, run, run. Trust me, run. All right. Then he says this, verse 19. So now he gives us nevertheless. So he tells us, study to show yourself approved. Stay in the word so you can rightly divide it. Run away from all the people that's doing the crazies. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So he's saying, look, while everybody's doing all that fancy stuff, you're going to find out this about many of these people. Their life ain't that good. They got all kind of other stuff going on that's kind of crazy when it's over. And then you're trying to figure out, well, what is that about? Well, we all got problems. Hold up, stop. We ain't got that kind of problem. Some of that stuff people got going on, it's like, we ain't got that kind of problem going on. You know, so the idea is whenever you open yourself up to the spirit world, any spirit can start to influence your mind and all kind of other things. And that's when you start doing really weird things. You know, so why are you pouring water through your ear in the morning and out your nose? Well, the Spirit told me that's the way you flow. Oh, that's what we're doing now. And the water represents, you know, the Lord. The ear represents what you're hearing. And so he's cleaning it out, and it runs out naturally through your nostrils. Yeah. Depart from evil and crazy things. Just pray like normal people. You know, just that's all we got to do. Pray like normal people. And God knows those that are his. It's clear. You don't have to worry about it. God knows you. He knows your name. He don't need to do nothing special. No special prayer. Boaz is wherever he at. God going to send him if he's supposed to be coming anyway. It's going to be fine. Okay? God knows those that are his. Depart from foolishness. Now, let's look at the next two verses. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now, so in other words, we purge ourselves from the profane, vain, foolish, crazy, all that stuff we just talked about. Just push it out. Don't come to me with all that. Pastor, have you heard about Christ the crystals? Don't make me take your crystals and throw them in the street. Well, you know, but Lord, have you heard about the Christ mirror? Have you heard about the... I ain't heard about none of that. I don't want to hear about none of that. Don't bring it to me because I'm going to step on and break it. And I'm going to hurt your feelings. I don't want to do that. We need to reject all that. Stay away from that. Stay in the word, rightly divided. Stay away from profane. Nevertheless, God knows who you are. He's got your name on it. Depart from foolishness and evil. And then, hear this. In a great house, which the Bible says, Jesus' house, we're in his house. All right? Let me prove that to you right quick. I want to show something to you right quick. Let me do this. So that way then, you'll know that I told you all the word ties itself together, and I think that's important sometime. That we see it. I want you to go to the new quick verse. Just put up Hebrews chapter 3, and let's put verse 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Here we go. Wherefore, holy brethren, that's you all, partakers of the heavenly calling, which we all have, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every man is builded by some, every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, I'm sorry, I should have told y'all to put verse 6 up too. I'm sorry. And then that'll be it. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. All right? So you see, we are the house of God. Christ built his own house. He's building his own house. His house are we. Now let's go back to what we were reading in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verse 20. But in a great house, that's us, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man himself purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. So if you want to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified or set apart, ready for Jesus' use and prepared for every good work, then you got to do exactly what we just said. Study to show yourself approved. Rightly divide the word. Stay away from vain and profane babblings and lessons and teachings and all this new stuff going on. Know that the Lord knows his own. Stand firm, depart from evil and all that evilness they're doing. And then let me tell you what he's distinguishing. Back in the day, they had gold goblets that they would drink out of, golden plates that they would eat off of. Certain goblets only came out in certain times for the king. Certain plates only came out during certain times for the king. And then there was this stuff in the king's bathroom where the king used to go kind of, you know, use the bathroom. That was never out of gold, even though the people nowadays want to have gold toilets. King had no gold toilet. He had a toilet made out of wood normally. And then he would do his thing with the wood. They come get the toilet. Most of the time, totally dispose of it, buried or whatever because of germs, other things. So the question is, do you want to be a gold goblet or a toilet? That's what Paul is saying. Paul says, in every great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Honor was the one that got the liquor poured in it for the king to have a drink. The dishonored one was the one the king sat on and, you know, did his thing. Do you want to be the one that Jesus uses or the one Jesus uses? You make a decision. I don't want to be a toilet in the house of God. Now, most people say, I wouldn't care what I was in the house of God. The scriptures are telling you, you don't want to be a toilet. That's what this is saying. In the house, every great house, there are vessels. Go to your house. There are things that you don't care about like that. They got dirt all over them. You walk all over them. You rub your feet all on them. Now, they serve a purpose, but they're not something that you treasure like that. Then there are things that you lock up almost. You don't even bring them out except when it's time for a nice meal or something, china or whatever it is. You treasure it. It's important to you. You use it. This is what he's talking about. And look at what he says. If a man therefore purge himself from those things we just said, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, just like your china. Your china sanctified. It's set apart. You don't put your china with your regular stuff, do you? I don't know. Y'all look okay, good. I'm going to make sure now, because some people, if you got your china with the regular stuff, okay, fine. You know, great. You got your paper plates, your plastic plates, and your china. It's all in the same place. All your little gold, whatever you got. Jewelry, think about it. There's some jewelry that y'all know. It ain't real. It look cute, but you don't even lock it up because you already know if somebody steal it, you could always buy some more. But then there's that jewelry that you forgot even with a key in because you locked it up in such a way that you wanted to make sure nobody took it. This is what he's talking about. This is the person we want to be. See, God pays attention. When you talk about rightly dividing the word, many times if you listen to people, you would believe that God don't care about nothing. We just got saved, and you ought to just be happy you got Jesus. And man, thank goodness you got Jesus. And that's good. That's wonderful. But then we have to move on. Now, is that a different doctrine? No. Let's go in the word. I'm gonna give you something right quick. Go with me to quick verse it back there. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 1. Let's go 1 through 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now let's go 1 through 7. Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 7. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Here we go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that comes oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. So in other words, he says, when the earth rains on it, the rain that falls on the earth often and that it hits it properly, it brings forth fruit that is meat and it gets blessed. Put up verse 8 for him. Hebrews 6, 8. Put that one up there. 8 and 9, I'm sorry. Put up 8 and 9. 6, 8 and 9. So let's look at these two in comparison. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So he's saying, look, you got saved. He says, let's move beyond the basics of Christ and let us go on to maturity. He says, understand that once people are enlightened and fall away from God, it is very difficult to bring them back to where they need to be. He says it's almost impossible. He says we got to understand something. The way the earth works is just how God works. As it rains and rains and rains on the earth, good ground brings forth fruit and it's blessed. Ground that brings forth thorns and briars gets rejected. You can't eat that. You can't take that to the market. You tear that up. You throw it away. He says, they take it, and what do? They burn it. It's cursed. He says, people need to understand. They got to keep moving with God. Keep growing with God. Keep going beyond with God. This is just like in school. You know, if a kid come to me right now, and they say, ooh-wee, Pastor, I got out of first grade. I'd be like, that is wonderful. But got to go to second. Another grade, they say? Yeah, there's a little more to learn. Then they get out of second. Ooh-wee, Pastor, I got out of second grade. Great, but there's a little more to learn. And you get the point. We go all the way to 12th grade. Ooh-wee, I graduated from high school. Well, that's nice, but there's even more you can do. Now, we get into arguing and debating about, oh, should we, and giving people credit if they did or didn't. I don't want to talk about that. I do want to be able to acknowledge, though, that people should be able to acknowledge that failure to go further makes it difficult to learn more. Yeah, whether you go to college or anything, you can't learn a trade unless you go on and learn. I don't care where you learned it, but you got to learn it from somewhere. And this is what we're saying. Let's get out of elementary school. Let's mature in Christ and go on. Understanding what Timothy is trying to say, what Paul is trying to tell Timothy is, you got to leave all this crazy stuff behind. Mature people don't even do that no more. When you read stuff, you hear stuff, and you're like, that is the silliest thing. That don't even make sense. If I want to get in touch with God, you know what I do? I pray. And I know God hears me. You know why? Because he says he does. And as long as I'm asking him for something he said, I don't need nothing special. I don't need no crystals. I don't need no music. I don't need no lights dimmed. I don't need any of that. I can do it anywhere from any vantage point. I can do it at all times. God is always there. And as we grow and mature and understand it, we then start becoming separated. And you start becoming sanctified unto God. So now you're ready and meet for the master's use. That's what he's saying, for every good work. When God want to do something, he send you. Because he knows you go mature, you go ready, and you're not easily persuaded or pushed off of your faith. And you got to understand that. Because otherwise, I'm going to just let you sit back over here and kind of watch. You know, you don't want to do that. So the idea then is he's telling Timothy, I need you to pay attention. And then watch what happens in terms of the verses that he does next. 2 Timothy, verse 22. Now he says, flee also. So we know that he wasn't talking about this to start. Flee also youthful lust. Timothy was young. And so he's saying basically all that I got to sow my oats, throw your oats over the fence, let's get on with it. Flee that. Run from that. He says, but follow this, righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, remember what I said last week or Sunday when I was talking about righteousness. I said that when we're praying, we have to know that there's a difference in James chapter 5. We'll go over there right quick, James 5. And we looked at verse 13 through 18. We looked at verse 13 through 18. And these are the scriptures that talk about being sick. Says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then on Sunday, I spent a little time talking about that. I said that many times people will say, well, you know, we all righteous. We're all righteous in Christ. We're all righteous. And I said, okay, please help me understand. So what you're telling me is that you believe that a person who spends all week in fasting and prayer, studying the Word of God, rightly dividing it for themselves to understand and know God, trying to grow close to God, is the same as the pastor who go to Shreveport smoking dope on the weekends and partying, and he show up on Sunday and pray too. And you believe them two preachers can lay hands on you and get the same results. If you do, you confused. Because separation unto God is not about your holiness. It's about your connectivity. You can't be connected to God if you ain't touch with him. It's just not, doesn't make sense. This is why he's telling Timothy. Look what he tells in verse 22. Flee youthful lust, because of course that surely ain't going to connect you to God. Okay, if you out juking and hooking and whatever else you're doing and everything else you're doing, that ain't going to connect you to God. He says, flee that, but follow righteousness. Now, if everybody was the same, what is he talking about? Right living, follow righteousness, right standing with God, being close to God, dealing with God, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Then your connectivity to God makes it easier for you to believe when you need to stand. I'm telling you, there's nothing like listening to the book of Genesis over and over and over again. And just try it sometime. When you go to sleep, just put it in your ear and you wake up, you'll hear wherever you're at. If you even go to sleep, don't worry about it. When you wake up, you'll hear something. You might even go to sleep, dream your Moses. I don't know. But the point is, it'll get in your head. And I'm telling you, the more you listen to Genesis and then Exodus, and then you hear God call Moses and tell him, go do this, and you hear it, and you start realizing as a Christian, what you believe is your God created the heavens and the earth. He tells you exactly how he did it. He tells you exactly how he created man. He tells you exactly how man fell. He tells you exactly how he destroyed man. He tells you exactly how Noah escaped. He tells you exactly how they got off the ark. He tells you exactly what happened after that. He gives you the exact lineage of everybody. He then tells you where Abraham came from, where Abraham went, how he called Abraham, how he had the baby delivered, how Sarah laughed and said she didn't, how God moved and did it, told I'm going to Lot and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, how Lot's wife turned and turned to salt. All of this, he takes you all the way to Joseph getting sold into slavery by his brothers, all this stuff to Joseph being exalted in Egypt, and finally all of the children of Israel ending up in Egypt. And then finally you get an Exodus where they say, now there's a king that doesn't know about Joseph. It's a continual story. And all of a sudden they say, look, let's start doing this to them. And all of a sudden God shows up to Moses and said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And then Moses says, who am I? And then you read and listen to everything, and God says, I'm going to tell you to tell them to let the people go, and then I'm going to harden his heart so he won't let you go. Why are you doing that? So I can get honor on Pharaoh. God said, I want to be able to show all y'all who I am. And Pharaoh did exactly what God said. Now, the more you listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, you're like, wow, this is either Harry Potter or this is God. And if this is God, that's the same God we got. So he's always active and alive. And the longer you stay in there with him, then all of a sudden when you begin to read things, let me get over here right quick. This is what I mean, the Lord will fill your mouth. See, now you know you didn't know where to go. All right. I want you to see this. Now, it's right, here we go. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell them to go to Romans, and we're going to go to Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 3, and let's look at Romans chapter 3, and let's look at verse 9. And go 9 to 17. He says, what then? Are we better than they? Talking about the Jews. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, then there comes a point where God begins, and I can't find that piece. I need to tie it in here, but I'm going to just tell you what it says. And I'm pretty sure it's in Romans, where he says that Pharaoh, he says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, on whom I will I harden it. Right? Now, I'm going to tie this back into rightly dividing the word, but I also want to tie it into the thing about what we're saying about God as we pursue him in righteousness and freedom. As you see all that in the Old Testament, you now see Paul writing in the New Testament. Here it is right here, Romans 9:15. For he saith to Moses. See, so now when you're reading Romans, don't let anybody tell you, forget the Old Testament. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So in other words, some people have taken this verse to say why God saves who he wants to save. That became a whole doctrine, basically. God saves who he wants to save. It says it right there. I'll have mercy on who I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Yeah, well, out of context, that does make sense. That's what that's saying. But that's not God's point. God, by doing what he did to Pharaoh and trying to showing what he was doing, God basically, after he brought the Jews out, and then the Jews stopped living the way they were supposed to, even though they were called the people of God. That's why he says there's none righteous, no, not one. So now when a Jew stands up and says, who is a Gentile to say that they can be saved by basically our God? You can't say that to God. Why? God got mercy. He got mercy on who he won't have mercy. And whom he has compassion, he has compassion. It's his desire. He hardened Pharaoh's heart to show us, I do what I want to do. So please don't come at me like that. Because you're a Jew and y'all Jewish, then these other people that are not Jewish, I can't save them. Or I can't be their God because they don't follow Jewish traditions and they don't eat what y'all eat and all that. Nah. I have compassion on whom I have compassion and mercy on who I want to have mercy. I'm God. Matter of fact, ain't none of y'all seeking me. No, not one. None of y'all righteous. So please stop. That's the whole point. And so when you're reading it, now that you understand all that, when you get back in the Old Testament again and you're listening, you're like, wow, okay, God, now I see what you were doing. You weren't just trying to harden Pharaoh on purpose. There were two things you were doing. One, you took the most powerful kingdom there was at the time. You sent the weakest man you could to him because he ain't had nothing but a stick. And you defeated an entire kingdom as you decided in your time. Because he could have been let him go. But God was the one saying, nah, not yet, not yet. And Pharaoh probably thinking to himself, why can't I let these people go? I should just let these people go. It's like having a bad relationship and you just can't let it go. You know it's bad. You know it ain't good for you. And you stay in it. And that's what Pharaoh was doing. He wouldn't do it because God would not allow him to. But it's the same thing with this. But please don't say, well, the reason my cousin won't get saved, you know, God won't let him. That ain't true. No, your cousin won't get saved because his eyes have been blinded by the devil. And we have to pray that God would do what? Open their eyes that they can see. All right? Now, this is going to take us into the very next verse. That's why I love this Bible. God knows what he's doing with the Bible. That's all we need is the Bible. Look at the next verses. So now we say this, 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Stop right there. So if God want to save me, why he don't just save me? I'm not about to argue with you. See, the Bible tells me that's a foolish and an unlearned question. It says, don't even entertain that. Well, if God can do everything, can he make a rock bigger than he can pick up? I'm not entertaining that question. You know, why would I sit here and debate with you? That's foolishness. It's unlearned. And you need to avoid them because all they do is gender strife. People just going to get mad no matter what you tell them. If they don't want God, when you start trying to explain to them, when they come at you like that, if God's so good, why the world got so much evil in it? Because God is good and he in heaven. And we're here and the devil along with us and we evil. So the world full of evil. Well, if God made the world, why the world full of evil? Because God gave man dominion over the world. God made man in his own image and gave him dominion over the world, over everything, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals, and himself. And God said, just don't touch that tree and obey me. And man, like he always is, got in his head and decided to do it his own way. And he messed it all up, and now it's all messed up. Well, then why don't God fix it? He did. God sent his only begotten son, for God so loved the world that his son died for sin. Well, that don't even make sense. See, you just keep going. It ain't gonna make sense because you don't understand it no way. You don't understand sin. You don't understand holiness. But if I told you right now, someone killed your mother, and they did it in the most heinous way we could think of, and she suffered, and they made sure she suffered. She felt every minute of her death, and they took their time killing her. There's not one person, I don't care how Christian you are and how much you're going to forgive them, because we will some kind of way, in a way we will, as we pray and ask God to keep us out of jail. We're going to do everything we can. But the truth is, you know, justice needs to be served. We will say that even when we've forgiven them. I forgive you, brother, but you know, justice got to be served. And justice typically means at least go to jail. Surely you're going to go for a little while. Well, okay. God created man and said, don't sin, or if you do, I'm going to kill you. So then he sinned, and God didn't kill him. He had mercy on him, put him out to God, and then he lived 900 more years. Adam died 907 years old. But sooner or later, God has to get the penalty for sin. God had been using bulls and goats to take away sin, but that don't take away sin. So God needed a real man, a real human, and he took it on himself. And then he executed himself. There's your death. Man sinned, you die. And it was a real death, and he died. And now he redeemed us back. Hey, there goes Ben. He redeemed us back. So now, that's the answer. But this says don't be doing that because they don't understand that. They're not trying to hear all that. There's a reasonable explanation for everything that Christianity is about. But just stay out of that and look at what he says. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You ain't fighting me. You do realize you're going to hell. Now, if I believe you're going to hell, and I really believe you're going to go to hell, and it's true, you're going to go to hell when we say that's truth. Every time you fighting me about it, you ain't fighting me. You might as well go beat yourself up in the corner. Because I'm going to hell. I'm taking myself to hell. That's what you're doing. I ain't got to throw you in there. You're taking literally yourself to hell. God says you're opposing yourself. Then he says what we should be praying. If God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil running around just taking people captive when he feel like it. They are blind, he just, boom, captive, and make them go do stuff. That's where all the murder and other things, just off the cuff. That's what they call these crime of opportunity. People are like, I don't know what happened. It just came over me, and I saw him, so I just robbed him. He looked so vulnerable. And then the devil just jump on you, take you captive. Now, look at the next set of verses. We're going to read them all again, and then we're going to tie it in right quick. We're going to close tonight and pick up here next week. Because this is the ones the devil take captive at his will. This know also that in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, think about what's going on today. Just think about what's going on today. Just look out there today. Just think about what's going on today. Somebody sent me a video. I was talking Sunday. I guess they were trying to show me something where a guy was just ramming the policeman's car. All right, police was trying to block him in. He just backs up and rams the police car. Backs up and rams the police car. Then he backed up further enough this time when he hit the police car, jumped. The police car went up and kind of hit a pole. That's when the bullet started coming out the police car. And it was just time. I mean, I guess he was trying not to have to shoot the guy, but he figured this guy finna kill me in this car. Because if he backed up and hit him one more time in that pole, it'd have been over with. And he just pow, 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 and shot him and killed him. But there was a time you just didn't do that. You didn't see that normally. And wasn't nobody going to be across the street filming it on their iPhone. Folks, we're in that time. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. But you can't debate and argue with these people. Think about some of the debates that are going on right now about things that we used to think we knew. We don't even need to get into detail about them. Now we're talking, I think it's great for Christians because I told somebody today, hey, I identify as a spirit man. Yes, I identify as a spirit-filled man, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's my identity now. And so I walk around believing God, angels encamp around me. That's what I know. That's what I walk in. That's my identity. That's my reality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you going to say to me now? See, the devil done opened it up for all of us. We can all walk in where we are. You want to be a cat? I'm a Holy Ghost-filled guy. You mean, what you got? I got God in me. I don't know what you got in you, but I know I got God in me. Sure do. God, the real God in heaven, spirit in here. Perilous times. You know what that means? The word perilous means hard to bear. I mean, there's some stuff you be like, it just don't even make sense. You just be like, I know you ain't just say that. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You said that. Okay, well, I mean, hey, I just don't want to go outside. I don't even like to look at the news. Sometimes I have news that I look at on my internet, Fox, CNN. I try to click back and forward, not watching it, but reading articles, because I like to try to get a variety, you know, the epoch and different news, right? And every morning, I'm serious, it's almost like I'd be like, I don't want to click on this. I just don't want to click on this because I don't know what I'm going to see. Then you go to WBRZ. Two people just gunned down on scenic highway. This one just this and this. And then I'm thinking, what is going on around here? Perilous times. I mean, this means hard to bear. That's why Sunday when I started talking about Babylon and faith, we're going to have to be people who still know God ain't left the planet. and he lives in us. We can stand this and we can do it. We just have to know how to walk like he's telling him. Do not allow yourself to get caught up in foolish and unlearned questions. Don't be debating and striving over things that you already know or claim to know and that you know of God. Don't do that. Pray that God will deliver people from this stuff that they're dealing with, and he would give them eyes to see, because it's the devil who takes them captive at his will. And so we have to understand these are the times we're in. Last part I want to talk about, and I'm done because it's 8 o'clock. Verse 2 on the very first part. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, I want you to think about this, and then next week is where we'll pick it up. This is the greatest misunderstanding about the Word of God, where you can see people have failed to rightly divide the Word. In an hour of selfishness, everything is selfishness. Think about it. They even call them selfies. You want to do a selfie? Everybody running around taking selfies, you're looking at yourself, you know, and doing this. And the thing is that people have gotten to the point where they took the scripture that said, love your neighbor as yourself. Even to say, see, you can't love nobody till you can love yourself. That is not true. You don't even have to like yourself, and you can still love people. The Bible describes what love is. Now, you may not like yourself, and you may have a whole lot of reason not to, but that ain't got nothing to do with loving other people. And the scripture tells you here plainly, it's going to be prevalent in the last days that people are going to be lovers of their own selves. We got magazines called Self. Think about it. Self, self, self. You got to help yourself before you can help anybody else. Self, self. And it always sounds very righteous the way we do it, not understanding that the reality is somewhere mixed up in all this. We need to be careful, because if Jesus had helped himself first, he'd been the only one got helped. Yeah, if he'd helped himself first and say, you know what? I got to help myself. I need to get out of here. How am I going to save anybody if they take me out? Well, because you need to be taken out. That's your mission. And for some of us, we have things that God will assign us to do that sometimes look like we're being absorbed into everybody else's stuff. But you're full of God, and that's what he's calling you to do in the moment. And you got to know that. Otherwise, you end up getting caught up in the perilous times themselves and not realizing that our lives are worth more to God than they are to ourselves. All right? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you again tonight for the Word of God, and we thank you for the books that you have allowed to be written by your apostles, by the prophets, by Moses himself, David and the Psalms, and all that we're able to read to understand you as the holy and righteous God of the universe. Father, we pray and ask that you would continue to strengthen us, those who need healing. We continue to stand with those in prayer who have asked. We continue to pray and ask that they will see the manifestation that they are believing you for. We continue to pray and ask that you would help us to rightly divide your word, that we might grow in grace and in faith. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen.